Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the Lord of all, and he is the Lord of the rolling centuries. He is the light of lights. He's the poet of poets. He's wisdom's oration. He's the extra that makes my life worth living. He's in a class all by himself. And that's why I heard somebody say, all hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Have you crowned him in your heart this morning? Crown him Lord of all, the King of kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have your personal copy this morning of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Romans. The chapter is 12, and the verse for your consideration is verse number 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Have that say amen. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'd like to read the B portion of that passage again. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Using that text, I want to talk for a little while from the subject, I've got to prove it to myself. I've got to prove it to myself. The Holy Bible reveals an incomparable God, a God who sits high and he looks low. He is a God that is perfect, absolutely perfect. His ways are not like our ways, and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. Or as high as the heavens are above the earth, are his ways than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. This God is perfect in his thinking. He has perfect clarity in his thinking. He does not make errors in judgment. And he may come by land, he may come by sea, he may come by air, or he may come by a way you know nothing about. Because the Bible does say he can do things above all that we can ask or think. But also, I want to propose to you this morning that God can come to us through or by his will. God can come to us through his will. And we need to, all of us need to prove some things to ourselves. And we need to prove to ourselves that God's will really works for me. It's not enough to hear somebody say about it, but you got to know within your own self that God's will really works for me. You see, something amazing happens when the ancient scriptures meet the modern mind. When the ancient scriptures meets the modern mind, something a dynamic happens. Because within the ancient scriptures are tremendous words of encouragement. And we all need that. Within the ancient scriptures are marvelous instructions on how to live. And within the ancient scriptures are encouraging and uplifting words of hope for your future. So something marvelous happens when the ancient scriptures meet the modern mind. And these ancient scriptures tell us that we ought to prove some things. We shouldn't just accept things because somebody says it. We should test or prove something. When I talk about proving, you are to test it. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You shouldn't accept something until you've tested it. It also tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 2 about verse 2, what the church proved or tested those who claimed they were apostles and found out they were in fact false apostles. Amen. Also, the church tested or proved doctrine, because Paul said that the time was going to come when men would not endure sound doctrine. And that's why the Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So we are to prove doctrine. And not only are we to prove doctrine, we are to prove leaders. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:10, before one accepts the eldership or the deaconship, let these first be proved. Amen. And not only that, God invites us to prove him. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, God said, try me or test me or prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. And I will pour out unto you a blessing so great you can't even receive it. So God says, prove me or test me. And then we have in this challenge, in this text today, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove to yourself that God's will is good, that God's will is acceptable, and that God's will is perfect for you. Do you think you need to prove that to yourself? That God will work for you. It'll bless your life. It'll take your life to a new level. So I want you to see three ideas in this message today. I've got to prove it to myself. It's very important that we understand that. Is that all right? The first thing I want you to see is that the food of Jesus Christ was to do God's will. The food of Jesus was to do God's will. The second thing I want you to see, that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And finally, I want you to see, I've got to prove it to myself. You know, you can only ride on mama's faith for so long. At some point, you got to ride on your own faith. You can only ride on mama's prayers for so long. At some point, you've got to stand on your own prayers. At some point, you got to pray your own prayers. Some point, you've got to come to your own personal conviction about the word of God. Amen. And when you think about life, we all are inquiring, curious beings. And we want to know what life is all about. And there's a book I've been reading, and this man was paid a compliment, and somebody called him a guru. And he said, I'm not a guru, but a guru simply is an Indian word that simply means one who dispels the darkness. A guru is someone who brings light. A guru is someone who brings enlightenment. There are many today who would propose to be our guru. They would propose to lead us. They would propose to guide us. They would propose to teach us. They'll tell you what life is all about. Aristotle thought that the totality of human activity was to strive for happiness. He said that's what life is all about, that all human action is designed to lead us to happiness. Well, Nietzsche, a German philosopher, said that all human action was to get power. Sigmund Freud, the great psychotherapist, said that all of human action is to avoid anxiety. Well, Jesus had another view. Jesus said that all activity ought to lead to us doing God's will. Jesus said that's what life is all about. Even at a young age, he was about 12 years old, he had a consciousness. He said in Luke chapter 2, about verse 49, his parents were looking for him, frantic and fretful. He said to them, I must be about my Father's business. Even at 12 years old, let you know you don't have to be 40 and 50 to be concerned about God's will. You can be 12 and 13 years old because Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And then when we go a little further, one day when he went out through Samaria and sat down on Jacob's well, there was a woman of Samaria who came and he asked her for a drink of water, and the disciples went away to get some food. When they returned, they had the food and said, Master, why don't you eat? And Jesus said, my food or my meat is to do God's will. Jesus said, the most enjoyable thing of my life is to do God's will. Jesus said, the most important thing in my life is to do God's will. Brother Hillary, would you turn to John chapter 8, look at verse 29. John 8, look at verse 29. He said, my food is to do God's will. You know, nobody has to make you eat your favorite dish. Is that all right? All you got to do is just mention it, and I'll be like Michael Jackson. I'll be there. Is that all right? Nobody has to make you enjoy your favorite dish. What does John 8:29 say, Brother Hillary? Read it.
And he that sent me is with me.
And he that sent me is with me.
The Father hath not left me alone.
The Father hath not left me alone.
For I do always.
For I do always. Jesus said, you know, we can't say that being fallible human beings, we can't say that we always do the thing that please God. But we can say that I strive, that the bent of my life, the thrust of my life is to do the thing that please God. And then not only was the will of God the most enjoyable thing of his life, it was the most important thing of his life, and also it was the most challenging thing of his life to do the will of God. Let's go down to Matthew 26:39. The most challenging thing of his life was to do the will of God in Gethsemane. You know, sometimes in doing God's will, it's not always easy. I don't want to suggest to you that doing God's will is always a piece of cake. I don't want to suggest to you that doing God's will is simply and merely a walk in the park. Sometimes in doing God's will, it taxes every fiber of your being. Sometime doing God's will is a struggle. Matthew 26:39, what does the Bible say, Brother Hillary?
And he went a little farther.
He went a little farther.
And fell on his face.
And fell on it. You know, doing God's will was so challenging that Jesus fell on his face. The man was walking and then he just fell down on his face. What would you think? What's going on with him? Because he was agonizing within about doing God's will, because doing God's will meant a cross for him. Doing God's will may mean something very challenging and even painful for us. Amen. But you still got to have the conviction that, you know, This is not very comfortable, but this is the best thing for my life, doing God's will. Read it, Brother Hillary.
And prayed, saying.
And he prayed. Listen to the prayer.
Oh, my Father.
Oh, my Father.
If it be possible.
If it be possible.
Let this cup pass.
Let this cup pass.
Nevertheless.
But notice what he said. Nevertheless.
Not as I will.
Not as I will, or not my will.
But as thou wilt.
But as you will. How many can say that today? How many can say this morning, you know, sometime, Brother Moss, I'm conscientious, but I do struggle doing God's will. Amen. That is not always easy, but I have the inner conviction that it is always the best thing. You got to prove it to yourself. That no matter where you are, it's always in season to do God's will. Now, God has never left us to figure out life on our own. How many can agree this morning that life is difficult? Life is complicated. Life can be complex. And you can't figure out, I got some news for you. You can't figure out life on your own. You can't figure out your own life on your own. That's why the ancient prophet said the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's why the proverbial writer said there is a way that seems right. Can you relate to that? There's a way that seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And even in the Garden of Eden, when God placed man in the Garden of Eden, God didn't put man in the Garden of Eden for him to figure it out for himself. God showed him the way. And God, as I live in this world, and I want to thank him because his word is indeed a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my... I don't have to figure it out for myself. But the devil came along and lied about the way. And told a woman that your future is in a bite of the forbidden fruit. You just eat the forbidden fruit and your life is going to go to a new level. But you can't figure out life for yourself. You need somebody to show you the way. So God in his greatness and goodness sent his son to be our role model. Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model. Well, Jesus Christ is. He has left us an example. Aren't you glad about that? If you want to know which way to go, the example is already given. How many want the abundant life this morning? Well, you can't have the abundant life without the will of God. The abundant life is found in the will of God. Amen. How many want the way, the truth, and the life? You can't have that without the will of God. You can't live. How many people have you ever seen out of control living abundantly? You don't see people lies out of control living the abundant life, no matter how much money they got or where they live. If you're out of control, you can't live the, you got to prove to yourself that God's will. I know my parents, ever since I was born, have been telling me about the Bible and about the church and what I ought to do. But at some point, you've got to, when you leave home, and your mom and dad are no longer forcing you to go to church, you got to decide to get up yourself and go to church. Your mom and dad have been encouraging you to pray all your life. At some point in life, you got to come to the conviction for yourself. Well, I really do need to pray. I got a situation in my life, and I need to see if prayer will work for me. Anybody ever tried prayer? Does it work? I need to decide for myself that I need to read the Bible for myself. I need to be in Sunday school for myself. I've got to come to the conviction that the church works for me. I got to prove it to myself. Amen. Here's the second idea. That God's will is good, perfect, and acceptable. You know, we're blessed at this congregation to have some of the best cooks this side of heaven. Can y'all say amen to that? And some of these cooks in this congregation specialty are cakes, pies, cobblers. Amen. Y'all all right? How many can relate to peach cobbler? Can you feel that? And Lord have mercy, don't get no ice cream to go on top of it. You really got a mess on your hand then, ain't you? Is that all right? But you know, let's just say for the argument's sake that one of our great sisters decides to just bake a whole pan full of peach cobbler. And we put a table here and she brings it and she puts it there and we're sitting there and she says to us that the cobbler is on the table and she says to us, this cobbler is really good. That's what she said, right? How you going to really know it for yourself? You got to come up here and taste it. Or sit there and she bring it to you. And taste it. How are you going to know that God's will works for you? Here's what God says. Here's what God says to you individually. He said, I know what's best for you. You believe that? I know what's blessed for you, and I will give you a great life. In fact, I will give you the best life. In fact, I will bring out the best in you and the best for you, provided you accept my will. That's what God is saying. But sin is me accepting another plan. I know the Bible says this, but never put a but behind where the Bible's put a period. Amen. Sin is me accepting the devil's plan. God told the woman and the man that the way to happiness in this garden is stay away from that tree. If you can just stay away from that tree, you can live in this garden and be happy. The tempter came and lied about it. And that's what he's doing today. He's telling young people, he's telling people today that there's a better way for your life. But you got to prove to yourself that this works for me. Now, I want you to look at these three words. Now, let me say something about, you have your Bible, let me say something about these three words. If you turn back to Romans chapter 12, let's look at verse 2. Let me say a few things about these words in this text. Now it says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. That you may test or prove. That's the idea. You've got to test it and prove it for yourself. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Now, let me say two things about these three words. Now, some scholars see these words as three adjectives describing the will of God. That God's will is good, is acceptable, and is perfect. Then some scholars see these three words used in what's called apposition. Now, what I mean by that is sometimes a word is used in a sentence to explain the meaning of another word. For example, Janet, my niece, is going to town. Now, my niece is used in the sentence in apposition, apposition. It's used to explain who Janet is. So some scholars see that when Paul says God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect, that it is explaining to us that God's will is good, is acceptable, and is perfect. Some scholars see it as God, at these three words, describing God's will. It's good, is acceptable, and perfect. Well, I looked at both sides of that argument, and I concluded that the passage is big enough to include both ideas. That these three words not only explain God's will, but they also describe God's will. What do they mean? Well, the word good means beneficial. God's will is beneficial. Can anybody say amen to that? That God's will is beneficial. Number two, he say it is acceptable. That means it's well-pleasing. You ever tried a product and you liked it? You liked it so well you would recommend it to some of your friends? So God's will not only is beneficial, it's good, but also it is acceptable, or it's well-pleasing. Well, how you gonna know that? I'm gonna show you how. And then he said, it is perfect. That means that it is not lacking in anything necessary to make it complete. So three things about his will for your life is it will be beneficial, it will be well-pleasing, and it will not lack anything you need. For example, the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to in green pasture. And when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he's saying, I will not lack. See, God's will provides me all that I need for the abundant life. Y'all believe that? But see, a lot of people have bought into the devil's lie that it's more joy and peace and happiness in the world. Hello, y'all. I can't have no fun unless I'm drunk. Preach, Moss. Is that all right? I can't have no fun unless I'm getting as far away from God's will as the prodigal son in Luke 15. Here's the final point. Proving it to yourself. I've got to prove it to myself. At some point, mama's faith had to become your faith. Amen. My mother and father have gone the way of all the earth, but I still come to church because I know it works for me. Amen. I still pray. You know why I still pray? Because prayer works for me. I still enjoy coming to the house of God, getting my praise on, because that works for me. Amen. You've got to, at some point, you got to prove it to yourself. So like the man one day saw a man walking down the street, and he said, I hate that man. I hate him. The other guy said, well, man, why you hate him? You don't even know him. He said, that's why I hate him. How you going to hate somebody you don't even know? Isn't that something wrong with that picture, isn't it? Well, how can I say that the will of God doesn't work when really I never even tried to live the Christian life? I ain't tried it. Well, how can you know? Well, listen to the Arabian proverb. Here's what it says. He who knows and knows he knows is wise. Follow him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Awake him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. And he who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. can I know that God's will really bless my life? Some folks are running from God's will like Jonah was running from his preaching assignment. They're running from the church. Some folks say, well, when I get myself together, I'm coming back to church. You can't get yourself together without the church. Is that all right? You get yourself together in the house of prayer. Jonah was running. God told him, go to Nineveh, cry against the city. Jonah got in a hurry, running, going the wrong way. And God had to send out a great tempest, bring old Jonah back to himself. Some people are running from God's will like Jonah ran from his preaching assignment. But how you gonna know for yourself that it really works for you? There's only one way you can know. But let me give you some ways you'll never know it. Can I give you that? I'm just about finished. I'm going to give you three ways you'll never know it. Three ways you will never know God will work for you. Amen. I went by Winn-Dixie yesterday. And they ought to be ashamed. Out there barbecuing that stuff in front of the store. No, that ain't right. Trying to be on my diet. Said, sir, come on here and get you some of these ribs, these baby back, with a special sauce. I said, you got any hot dogs over there? And she said, they really good. Well, she wanted me to see for myself. And you can get a rib sandwich for $5, and we'll give you a slab for 11. I don't sound too bad. But Hillary, I had to see it because I didn't buy it. As I'll check you next time. But if I was going to know that those ribs were good, I had to see it. So don't you say that the church doesn't work if you never really tried it. You can't say that. You can't say that Christianity won't give you the abundant life when you ain't tried it. If you go to the pharmacist and he gives you a prescription. Amen. And he tells you how to take the medication. You have to take it according to the subscription. Is that correct? But let me give you three ways we'll never know that God will is good for you. Number one, you'll never know if you have a carnal mind. Romans 8:7, Brother Hillary. You will never know if you have a carnal mind. Because a carnal mind is hostile to God. Doesn't want to hear anything God has to say. Amen. Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
Because the
carnal mind
is enmity against God.
Is enmity against, and enmity means is hostile. Some people are hostile to the word of God. They will never know God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. They will never know God's will is beneficial, well-pleasing, and totally complete. A second mindset they will never know is the mind that is blinded, a blinded mind. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. A blinded mind will never know that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect because they can't see the truth of the gospel. What does 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 say? Read it.
But if our gospel be hid,
it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world have blinded the mind. If your eyes are blinded, you can't see. If your mind is blinded, you can't see. Is that right? So a carnal mind will never know. As long as you got a carnal mind, you'll never know God's will is beneficial. You'll never know God's will is well-pleasing. You will never know God's will is not lacking in anything for your life that you could change your level of living. Here's the third mind you'll never know. It's an unbelieving mind. Hebrews 3:12, Brother Hillary, an unbelieving man. You'll never know that God's will is good, perfect, acceptable if your mind is carnal, hostile toward God. Blinded, can't see the precious promises of God. And if you don't believe it, some people just don't believe it. You got to believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The first base in pleasing God is believing. You got to believe his word. Is that right? You had a brother here. What does it say?
Hebrews 3:12.
Take heed.
Lest there be in any of you. An evil heart of what? Unbelief.
Because unbelief leads you away from God. Unbelief leads you away from God. Now let me give you this. The only way you can know this works. And I don't care if you've been coming to church for 50 years. 60 years. You ever seen people... Been in the church 50 years, still low down as ever? Say amen if you can. Cussing more now than they were cussing when they first come in. Increasing their cussing. Come on, y'all. Amen. If you come into church and you following Christ at some point, your life has got to start looking like Christ. All of us should be imitating Christ. Is that right? The only way you can know that this works, you got to renew your mind. That's the only way it's going to work. Let's look at the text again. Brother Hiller, would you read it for us again? Let's look at the text again. The only way it will work, the only way, and if I have a hostile mind, a carnal mind, a blinded mind, an unbelieving mind, I'll never know it. But the only way I will know, I got to prove it to myself. The only way I will know it, Romans 12. So let's read that again as we conclude. The only way I will know. Read it, brother. What does it say?
And be not conformed to
this
world.
Be not conformed. You see, first of all, you can't let this world bend you into his mold. Hello? What's the difference between you and the unbeliever? Amen. Be not conformed. Don't let this world bend you into its mold. But what?
But be ye transformed.
But be ye. How are you going to change your life? It starts with your mind. How many want your life to get better? You got to get better. How many want your life to get better? Your thinking got to get better. Is that right? Be ye transformed. Don't conform. But look at that. Look at it. It's all about form. Conform or transform. How many have seen the beautiful, beautiful butterfly? But did you not know the butterfly ain't always been that pretty? Did you not know the butterfly was an ugly, lowly worm? Ugly caterpillar? But then something, the science teachers talk about a concept called metamorphosis. You ever heard that word? Science teachers, y'all heard that word? Metamorphosis. Well, in the Greek text that Brother Hillary read, when he said, be ye transformed, it's the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. What does metamorphosis mean? Let me explain it this way. It means that the ugly, lowly worm crawls on a limb, spins a cocoon. And in a little while, something is taking place on the inside. You see, your outer world's going to be all right when you get your inner world right. Until you get your mind right, your life ain't going to be right. You got to get your mind right if you want your life right. You can't rise any higher than your thoughts. So this ugly worm goes into the cocoon, and then inside of the cocoon, a transformation, and the ugly, lowly worm is transformed. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, glory to his name, transforms my life. I'm deformed, but he transforms me. I have been degenerated and he regenerates me. Let Christ have your mind. Let the Son of God bring your mind under his lordship. Huh? Can you say amen to that? I can't hear y'all. I'm bringing my mind under his lordship. And when I do, I am transformed. And when I'm transformed, in conclusion, I can know that his will works for me. Let me say to the young men, I made a move. Tomorrow, if I see tomorrow, I'll be 57 years young. 57 years young. Ain't that a blessing? At the age of 22, I want y'all to hear this. I transformed. I gave my life to Christ. And guess what? I don't regret it. Best move I ever made. Hello? Can anybody feel me on this? The moment I gave my life to Christ, he put me on the right road. And I've been running with him now 35 years, sure enough. Did y'all hear me? Because for a while I was playing with it. But I've been running with him now 35 years. Some of you sitting here today have been running with him longer than that. Some of you have been running with him less than that. But it doesn't matter how long you've been running with him, but just run with him. Run with him. Run on to see what the end going to be. And I tell you, Jesus Christ can give you a new life. Jesus Christ can give you eternal life. Well, Brother Moss, how can I begin this transforming process? By hearing the glorious gospel. By believing it with all of your heart. By repenting of your sins. By confessing the sweetest name to roll from mortal tongue. And by being immersed or baptized in water. And then the beautiful thing about it, the Bible says that you bury the old man in the water. And the beautiful thing is that you rise up out of the water to walk in newness of life. You know why? Because he's given you a. And somebody ought to be able to say this morning, Brother Moss, I know for myself the gospel works. I know it works. I don't care what they say. Yeah, I got some friends who don't believe it. They don't make a difference with me. I don't care if they never believe it. I'm going to believe it. Is that right? And I'm not going to leave the Lord, because I know the Lord is my bridge over troubled water. The Lord is my way out of no way. Is that all right? If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, you can make that right. You can transform again by repenting, confessing, and praying. Amen. Ain't that good news? Lord, have mercy. Ain't that good news? So I'm going to my seat, but let me tell you this. I read the Bible from time to time, and I'm reminded of something that happens down at the Red Sea. I think it's relevant to us today. They were leaving Egypt, and Pharaoh relented on his promise to let them go, Brother Milton. And they got trapped between the water and the Red Sea. Is that right? Sometime in life, you get trapped between the water and the Red Sea. Is that all right? Well, they began to panic. They got in meltdown mode and began to panic. And they wanted to know, Moses, what are we going to do? Is that right? And then God said a powerful word. He said, Moses, tell the people to go forward. Is that all right? And I still hear God saying to us, go forward. Don't hesitate. Go forward. Is that all right? Go forward. Don't procrastinate. Is that all right? Go forward. Don't vacillate. Is that all right? Go forward in the will of God. And if you do, you'll be so glad that you did. Is that all right? Because God's will is contained in his word. And I hear that grand prophet Isaiah said, He said, as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither, but it watereth the earth, causing it to bud and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. That's what God said. Is that all right? It shall not return unto me void. Is that all right? I tell you, God's word and God's will can turn barren deserts into a blooming garden of flowers. Is that all right? God's will can turn tragedy into triumph. Is that all right? God's will can turn pain into power. Is that all right? God's will can turn a setback into a comeback. Yes, it can. God's will can turn sadness into gladness. Is that all right? God's will can lift up bowed down heads. God's will can lift up feeble knees. Is that all right? And somebody who's been running with the Lord ought to be able to say, I'm going through. I'm going through. Is that all right? I tell you, I'm going through. Inflation not going to stop me. I'm going through. Discouragement not going to stop me. I'm going through. Crime not going to stop me. Is that all right? I'm going through. The world not going to stop me. I'm going through. The flesh not going to stop me. I'm going through. The devil not gonna stop me, cause I heard the master's voice and I'm going through. Is that all right? And when you do the will of God, you can say, I know for myself that this works. Amen. And it's the best life you could possibly have. You don't regret following Jesus. You don't regret doing his will. Is that right? And as I tell my children, I said, now, y'all got to come to know the Lord for yourself. Amen? You got to come to know Jesus for yourself and do his will for yourself. Because I got to prove it to myself. Would you stand, please? That's the message. I've got to prove it. Lord have mercy. I got to prove it to myself. And if I really love the Lord, can you say amen to that? Amen. If I really love the Lord, I will do his will. I really love the Lord. Really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. I want to thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. I love him. I really love.